Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And welcome, everybody. Happy 7th birthday to my grandson, Cruz. He's probably going down a water slide as we speak, but I'll get him the replay. Welcome, everybody. You know, we're still all excited about the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Lots of buzz, lots of great feedback. You could find it on Amazon. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite reviews is my first guest. We've got a great doubleheader today. My sports medicine mentor, my colleague for four decades in the world of sports medicine, Bob Guida, the former Mr. America, Mr. Universe, trainer of champions, is my first guest. And then we're going to have Melissa Walden. She's a certified counselor, eating disorder specialist, psychotherapist is going to be joining me. And then it's the sports doctors in and our emails. But let's jump right in with Bob Guida. Hey, welcome back. I don't know how many shows, but years ago, beginning of radio, I did them with you. Bob Guida.
Well, you think about, you know, every time I talk to you, I run back in my memory and all the names come back up in mind. I know you just recently interviewed Mindy Epstein. I've been meaning to get together with her for lunch. I promised her. I mean, you remind me of this, but I remember back all the way to Sports Fitness Institute. And I remember back in the time when I was training Billy Buckner, and he won the National League Batting Championships. And then we had there was three guys that all were handsome bucks, and all the gals used to hang out in the front. And somebody explained to me why these guys were bachelors. So I wound up going to Buckner's wedding, but we had Gary Fensick and Keith Magnuson from the Blackhawks.
Yes.
Remember back all that time? I thought
I'd bring
those up because you keep bringing up these names,
yes,
and then I got to search my memory for them.
You got to search it, man.
I wrote those down. I said, you know, and then I started thinking of all the guys that have come out of my school of thought. You know, most recently, you were mentioning Tommy Meredith, and I got pictures of him and I together that I just found. And then I remember Mike Andrews was working with the Blackhawks all those years, and that was
yes,
his dream come true.
Well, it's funny, Bob. You know, I was just watching a incredible end of the fifth set of a tennis match in Wimbledon. Rafa Nadal, Del Potro, of course, doing the commentary. John McEnroe, I closed my eyes, and there was John McEnroe as a 21-year-old coming into the office. I think he was arguing with his father at the time. But again, yeah, for those who are listening, Bob Guida, former Mr. America, Mr. Universe. Bob is a National Fitness Hall of Fame participant. Bob is a kinesiotherapist, and I met Bob in the late 70s, again, Sports Fitness Institute, where the great ad, whether it was Walter Payton, the Chicago Bears, Chicago Cubs, would come to see Bob either to rehabilitate an injury or what was brand new then, enhanced performance, a step or two quicker, jump higher, be stronger. And of course, Bob always was a huge believer in the role of the foot in sports. And that's how we got married, man, back in the late 70s. and all of these different athletes in so many different areas. And the array of sports with Bob was endless. We saw champion figure skaters. Bob was the strength coach for the men's and women's Olympic volleyball team. You know, Bob, the co-author of my book, #HeySportsParents, Sharky Zartman, was a member of those national teams that we saw. We remember Flo Hyman and Rita Crockett. And again, the area of kinesiotherapy, really sports therapy, and you're still at it, Bob, aren't you, with some of your treatments and kinesiotherapy?
Yeah, and now I've added the idea of a lymphologist, certified lymphologist. As we talked about one of your former shows, and I'm working together closely with Lance Dreher. We're doing courses for personal trainers. Your audience, people that want to know about.
I got a trade radio show with Lance. I got to trade radio shows with Lance. He was at the table with us. Lance, of course, is one of the world's great bodybuilders, champion.
Oh, incredible.
He's become a real educator in so many different areas. And again, we used to call him Bob's Pups. Bob mentioned a couple of them. Many of them have been guests on my show. Mike Andrews, the most recent, Carson Smith, John Blevernick, some of these others who studied under Bob and then went on for a whole different array of different activities. I don't want to say Bob Guida invented rubber band resistance, but Bob Guida invented rubber band resistance. Remember, Bob, we had to use truck tires to get rubber band resistance.
Yeah, to cut up exactly the inner tubes from truck tires. And then we figured out ways to get them. And that's how Spry Products came into being.
Yes. Sports performance.
And it's funny because, what's funny is now that this Pilates group is claiming that, they even did push-up handles. I said, holy cow. I mean, baloney. I mean, there's so much baloney out there. Yoga Lattes. All these people are certified yoga. I mean, when did they go to the Himalayas?
Goat yoga. Well, I think it's interesting. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years. You'll probably find three or four shows with Bob Guida and some of his associates. I get a lot of guests on Twitter. From Twitter, we publish all sorts of sports medicine, health, wellness, fitness information at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. And, of course, the title of the book, #HeySportsParents, it's because it's a Twitter handle. So if you go to #HeySportsParents, you read all sorts of great information in the crazy world, the unbelievable world of youth sports. You know, Bob, I also felt you stressed, I call it instability training, and where you would be working balance. You know, it's funny. In my book, the chapter is called The Two Basic Exercises. I don't care what your sport is. And one of them is rubber band exercises for the feet and ankles. And the other is all sorts of balance work, mini trim work. Talk about why you always had such emphasis on stability and balance.
Yeah, well, the total body training book, Lance is bringing that back. It's going to be on the internet and all that other stuff.
A classic.
So everybody will have it. But what I visualized essentially was a clock where you've got a 9 o'clock and a 3 o'clock, and you have a trim which is circular, and then you could stand at 12 o'clock, you could stand at 6 o'clock, you could stand at 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock, but as you're standing with your left foot at 9 o'clock, it makes you tilt inward, so you have to pull upward to maintain your balance, which is
work the opposite. Wasn't that your thing? Work the opposite.
work the opposite. But that was also in terms of resetting muscle tone. But here you're training your ears. Your balance is in the ears, where you have to develop the stabilizers that go into that system. And I was always an advocate of that, and so were you. We both picked up on that. And over the years, I've proven that as a very important way to stabilize your whole structure, your posture, and all that comes off of head position, but also, most importantly, what are
you
doing?
You know what's amazing,
Bob?
What's amazing is, again, today one of the biggest challenges in medicine is seniors and falling and preventing falling. You can't go to a physical
that. Yeah.
So whether you're the best athlete in the world, or their son or daughter, or their great-grandmother, balance training becomes very, very important. It's very, very safe. And again, you're working, again, I'll put another quote of yours, you know, work the brakes when you would be talking about all of these different kinds of training.
Labyrinthine function within the ears. You know, you got this otoliths and vesicles and that little ball bouncing around in the eardrum that maintain the balance. So you have to be able to keep the head from shaking or nodding. So you have stable head, but then your feet have to get the cues off of that, and that's what the coordination is predicated on. So you think in terms of integrating those factors. And I see in terms of these batting guys, you know, you look at Abreu, who has lost his sighting on the ball, you know. And I remember training Billy Buckner. He didn't know what I was doing at the time, but he won the National League Batting Championship because I taught him about steady head and moving the eyes. So these guys that are losing their sight should go back to eye training, but they're moving their head. If they move the head, then the vesicles and the otoliths in the ear get disturbed. So that split-second timing is lost. And so
now,
I hope these guys
are
listening
to
your show.
Do you have the website now people can go to, or is the best thing to do to just Google you and find out all sorts of information on your books and other stuff?
Yeah, I think do it through Lance, so drfitness.com. He's got all my stuff on his deal. I also
on Lance Dreher.
We did it, Lance Dreher. We did
I'll
a program.
Keep people aware
for,
of all of that.
You remember John Hansen? He's doing all the natural bodybuilding, and part of my life's ambition for the rest of my life. And I'm 77 now, so I'll be 80 pretty soon. And I'm trying to get natural bodybuilding back, you know, where people are doing bodybuilding for health reasons. And it's very important for older people now that weight training is accepted. You know, it's just as valuable as the cardiovascular stuff. Everybody's riding bicycle and you know, God bless their prostate.
Well, you had a famous theory, Bob. You had a famous theory. PHA, peripheral heart action.
Right.
And again, like you talked about your lymphology, you know, all of the waste products of the body are drained through our lymph system. You always paid such attention, which is why, you know, Bob made famous deep soft tissue vibrational healing, where he was using vibrating instruments on all sorts of muscles and other areas to stimulate healing, and draining the lymph was a big deal to you. It still is.
Yeah, well, the analogy always came from the soldier standing at attention, not moving. And so the idea was to wiggle your toes and to squeeze your butt muscles, you know, to lean back a little bit. In terms of standing at attention, the blood is pooling in the legs as well as the lymph. You have to be moving for the lymph to move. Now, they say that when you look at sitting, watching television, sitting for an hour, it's like smoking a pack of cigarettes. So,
really?
That's the analogy that's coming out now, that, you know, that the harm.
Hey, baby,
you got to stay
moving.
Sitting in front of a computer for hours and hours a day, you know, now they have to stand up and sit down. So they're starting to smarten up. But that's PHA. That's peripheral heart action or muscle pumping action. Now, my system is where you work the 640 muscles of your body. How many have you worked at least once a week? You know, it's not just It's not just the abdominals. Everybody nowadays is working abdominals, and then they're taking steroids, which is another mistake. So the
drugs and sports is a big deal, Bob.
You got to work in circuits. You know, you do heel raises and toe ups and toe downs. Then you work some arms, and you work some shoulders. Then you work. You move around the body.
Yeah.
That's what the body.
Mix it up.
You got to be like Tarzan. We got to go back to swinging in the trees a little bit.
Yeah, I want to ask you, Bob, about the, again, one of the other things that you really, really pioneered in so many ways is that you came out against passive, consistent stretching. It's still a tremendous controversy.
It's worse. It's worse now. It's come back, you know, because the Pilates, Pilates was a guy who was in the military, used to teach calisthenics. Well, I was in the military. I used to teach calisthenics at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, did that make me an authority on exercise? You know, I've got a master's degree and a PhD, in kinesiotherapy and all this other stuff. What do these guys know about anything besides doing burpees or, you know, and how do these guys all? Every shopping center you can visit has a yoga center. I mean, Patanjali Sutras, which is the Bible of yoga, he tells you if the guy's asking you for money, he's not a yoga. He hasn't achieved samadhi and nirvana.
That's
a different system. But to use those stupid contortion exercises is what I'm against. Yoga, all the things in my book. I've got them all listed. Yeah.
The total body training talks about the dangerous 12, but dangerous dozen. You always talked about if muscles were stretched, there was naivety. You needed strength over that area. I think a lot of people felt when you said don't stretch, you were saying don't warm up, but you were always saying warm up. But you were saying there was a better way. Your dynamic range of motion, where you were not overstretching, you know, some of these areas. Overkill is a big deal today, Bob.
Yeah.
Overuse. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book.
Yeah. Bones only go so far. Now, when you're looking at, somebody sent me a newspaper article, and it says that people that do yoga are having wrist problems. Now, you know about ganglionic cysts and the bursa popping out of the wrist. Well, the wrist doesn't go 90 degrees. You can flex it 90 degrees, but to do extension, it doesn't go. But women have laxity. 70% of the female population has ligamentous laxity. This is in medical textbooks. They are ready to relax. They have hormones that make it worse. When you're starting to have a baby, the pubesempiphysis is even separating. So here they got these problems with wrists because they're doing all these push-up kinds of things where it's forcing the wrist into hyperflexion or hyperextension, which is the wrong thing. It's like your shoulder can only go 90 degrees. If you dislocate it, well, what good is that? Remember when the Nautilus pullover machine guys were dislocating their shoulders because it went too far. So you're right. And that's what we need more doctors realizing that you become hypermobile, and that's not an asset. That's not health.
Flexibility.
It's hyper. It's too much.
Yes, flexibility is something, of course, that's very important, and it's something that's always worked. It's when you start overdoing and getting, again, loose areas because of... So if yoga is done safely within normal limits, then I think it's got some really, really some value.
Hatha yoga, the Raja yoga and those other things, contemplation and meditation, those are all viable stuff. And there are qualified people to teach that. But this Hatha yoga with every candy store guy is an expert on this stuff because they got some book, written by some idiot. If you look at the whole idea of yoga, it's different in the Orient than what we got right now. This is a cosmetic. And people that are really into yoga are against the Hatha yoga, this extreme stuff that's out.
All right, hey, Western, Roberto.
Western yoga.
Yeah.
I love you, Doc.
Bob,
I love you a bunch.
Hold on, man. Bob Gaida, again, former Mr. America, Mr. Universe. You'll Google him, G-A-J-D-A, Robert Gaida. You can go to Lance Dreher, D-R-A-H-E-R, find out more information about the new book. I promise you, I'll keep everybody up to date. But Bob, hold on a second. We're going to be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you, brother. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, welcome back to Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, joined by Melissa Walden. Melissa, psychotherapist, certified counselor, and also specializes in eating disorders, something we see much too much of, especially in some of these young kids, competitive athletes. Melissa, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Melissa's daughter, Bailey's a competitive figure skater. That's where I met her and wanted to give a little bit of background with you and your practice, Melissa, to start us off. I call it the Who What segment.
Okay. Well, actually, I am in private practice, and I work solely with folks with eating disorders. And so all ages, both men and women, and my clientele starts as young as 9 and goes all the way up to 60. And so, you know, eating disorders are not just an issue that teenage girls deal with. It is, you know, a wide variety of people. It looks very different on people and affects both men and women.
That's the first interesting surprise to me, is the fact that, wow, it's men as well as women. You know, over the years, you know, I have a chapter in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, called The Prodigy Sport, where whether we're talking gymnastics or figure skating, like your daughter, specialization, other types of sports, dance, ballet, where the pressure, not only physically but then mentally, becomes a very big deal. And one of the problems, let alone in English, we want you to lose that weight, is the other kind of crazy pressure and eating disorders. Talk a little bit about that connection.
Well, yes, you know, it's really interesting because those prodigy sports that you're talking about where, you know, how something looks is how they're judged. It is so important, I think, for parents and coaches to know that, you know, when you are coaching or working with some of those athletes, that we're not putting a lot of attention on body image and, you know, the way your body looks. Let's talk about how the skill looks versus how the body looks. And I think that's important for parents when they're interviewing coaches, and just to get kind of a feel for what is it like. I mean, I'm going to use the rink, for example, because my daughter is a figure skater. But, you know, what is the atmosphere like in the rink? Is, you know, are they promoting body positive statements? Are they, you know, kind of accepting of all body types? And, you know, there's some of the assumption made that if you are thinner, you're a better
athlete. Of course
they're
not. Yeah, of course they're not. Let alone the young wrestler who's in the sauna with a wetsuit on trying to sweat off the last 5 pounds and putting his health at risk. But I think that's one of the realities, which is especially figure skating is a great example, where, again, the body image is a very, very big deal, and there's a lot of pressure on these kids. Man, I wish I would have met you before the book was done. You could have been one of our experts besides just the sports nutrition. You know, because this becomes a very, very big deal. What are some of the things that parents need to pay attention to? I guess it starts with being educated.
It does, and it also talks, I mean, it also has a lot to do with recognizing food as fuel. We need food in order to perform at our best. And we also need to pay attention to how we talk about food. It's really important for parents to not classify food as good or bad. We're doing that a lot, and we're seeing it in the media of what you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating. And the truth of the matter is, our dietitian says this all the time, is if it fits in your mouth, it fits in your meal plan. And she wants people to be able to have all types of food and not restrict certain food groups or restrict fats or, you know, restrict carbohydrates. Because in order to perform at your best, your body needs balance. And so when your children are making food choices, my daughter does this too, as she, you choose something that is going to fuel you. If she has a 3-hour skating session, you can have a Pop-Tart for breakfast. That's fine. But how do you feel halfway into that skating
session? Yeah, you know, I spent 20 years talking about childhood obesity on The Sports Doctor, give or take a few weeks. Rick Osborne, who was a colleague of mine who created what's called the pull-your-own-weight system, which the reality is if a child, whatever their age, can do an unassisted pull-up, no matter how you measure them, they can't be obese. But he would talk about foods. And like you mentioned, he'd say they never use the term good or bad, or positive or negative. He would use the terms strong or weak.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say, "What kid wants to eat weak foods?" I said, "Man, that's brilliant." You know, that whole idea and the word you use, fuel. I think everybody gets it when they think of the word fuel. Again, because we've got an obesity crisis on the one hand, and then we've got what? Eating disorders. I guess, does that also include it? Must obesity, besides just loss of weight?
Absolutely. I mean, again, eating disorders come in all shapes and sizes. And I think when the average person thinks of somebody with an eating disorder, they think of a malnourished teenage girl. And the truth
anorexia.
Of the matter is, right, the truth of the matter is, you know, most people who are struggling and are really at high risk actually have a normal body weight. It might even be a little bit above a normal body weight.
Wow, that's an interesting point.
Right, and the way that I rate the severity of someone's eating disorder is not so much the body type, but what are the thoughts that are going on in that person's head? They tend to be very, very obsessive, very negative, and the worth and value is placed on body image. So that piece is really, really important, that we can't be mistakenly, you know, assuming that everyone is okay because they look okay.
Yes. What's your website? People could find out more about your practice and this whole world.
You can find me at mwcounseling.com.
Okay, mwcounseling.com. So now, again, we talk a lot about, in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and I've dealt with it for a million years. I would always ask sports parents, how's your sports psychology skills? Of course, then when you get into the world, again, the psychotherapy and counseling, you then get into the family. Hey, sports parents, like I said to you the first minute I met you.
Yes. We do have to look at the family and look at, like, you know, what are the family values? And again, for even my non-athletes that I work with, if fitness and thinness is a family value, then that child is going to grow up with, I must be thin in order to be accepted by my family. If there are families who are, you know, very focused on weight or who talk about people who are gaining and losing weight, and the child overhears that and they talk about it in a negative or positive way, they're now going to associate, well, if I lose weight, that's good, and if I gain weight, that's bad.
Now, obesity or childhood obesity, I mean, has got to be mixed in the middle, I guess, of what you would term an eating disorder. Would you say that?
Yes. You know, we just had a new eating disorder finally recognized in the DSM, and it is binge eating disorder. This was not recognized, you know, as widely, you know, even 10 years ago. And now it's given a diagnosis and a code that we can actually use. And that is just as much of an eating disorder as anorexia. And what's happening is people are using food to soothe emotions, anxiety, and whether they're using it by binging, by purging, by restricting, it's all the
That's a huge point.
Right. The behaviors are different, but the thoughts are very similar.
It's a huge point. The psychological, emotional side of food is endless.
Yes.
It really becomes, especially when we understand that things like obesity and diabetes and childhood obesity can break us financially. We can't afford to take care of all of this illness. We have to really pay attention to prevention. What's your involvement in the school system in your thinking?
Like my personal involvement or how much
Both.
The school system
how
should
important
be involved?
You feel it is for the schools to really be paying big attention?
Well, I think they need to pay attention, but they also need to address it in a way that is helpful. And so, again, a lot of the patients that I've seen talk to me about, you know, kind of this trauma of being weighed in gym class and having their weights be read out loud. Well-meaning teachers
trauma.
You know, wanting them to track their food.
Yeah. I'm going to talk more about that. Very interesting. Something as benign, you would think. But everybody gets it, getting their weight, you know, like announced. We're going to talk more about that and all aspects of this. We're talking, again, Melissa Walden, psychotherapist, certified counselor, specific eating disorders. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems.
also enhancing performance. Step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Check out my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows, go back, 10 years, listen to shows, see all sorts of topics, great guests from all over the world. You can zip over to newspaper articles and read everything from what's the best shoe for your son or daughter or you, whether you are specialization. It's one of my most popular articles. Women in high heels accepting the challenge. That's always a big one. We're talking with Melissa Walden. She's a psychotherapist, eating disorder specialist in private practice. And we were just talking about how schools could tune in a little bit more to some of these things that you feel they really need to pay attention to. I would imagine that the pediatric and the medical world is another area that has to pay much more attention. Would you agree?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. I mean,
right.
Well, because we are so focused on obesity and trying so hard to prevent it, sometimes some very well-meaning doctors will make statements and say things that kids hear, and they hear that, oh, my goodness, I need to lose weight immediately because my doctor just called me fat. And it's really heartbreaking because they do use, you know, BMIs, and unfortunately, BMIs are not an accurate measure of health.
Worthless. Worthless.
It's totally worthless. You know, I mean, it only looks at weight and height. It doesn't look at the percentage of lean tissue.
Well, I'll tell you, here's my pearl for the day, dear. Go to pullyourownweight.org, and you will read all about this incredible, creative, inexpensive concept that can virtually specify whether somebody would be obese or not. But these pressures, these subtle pressures, I think are so important, like you were talking about. And again, in the high-performance athlete, and again, your daughter, a competitive figure skater, so the area of fueling and paying attention to being proactive, you know, again, everybody knew junk food was not good for you, fast food. I think where a lot of us were fooled, Melissa, is that we thought the good old American diet was good for us. Hey, wake up, right?
Right. Well, and it was, again, what is most important with diet is to have balance. And I hear of so many people who choose to be gluten-free or choose to be vegan. And what that does is it eliminates so many important food groups that fuel our bodies and protect our bodies from injury. And so I get so nervous when all of these, you know, new fad diets, they're going to continue to come out. But what we're trying to tell our patients is that we need all of the food groups so that you can get all of the nutrition that you need to have your body performing at its best.
Now, your practice, again, you have a team approach where you bring in other areas. I think we're talking about one now, you know, dietitians or whatever. Again, it could be physical therapy. It could be some of these other, you know, the idea, again, of a team approach. The only thing advertised more on television than diets is probably prescription drugs in our crazy country. That's another big-time pet peeve. It's a chapter in my book, again, which is youth sports and drugs. It's a big, big problem. Again, because of pressure to play hurt, to come back too soon, or again, mixed in with these other kinds of pressures, where all of a sudden the family's in your office because now we've got an eating disorder problem.
Yes. Yes, and it is, a lot of times, especially with athletes, it's very well-meaning. You know, we really do mean well. We're wanting to support our children. But when we get stuck in very rigid thought patterns about food, we're doing way more harm than good. And so another eating disorder that is getting more attention is called orthorexia. And this type of eating disorder is also very restrictive in terms of people start trying to eat things that are organic or grass-fed meat or free-range chickens, things like that, which is great. But that doesn't mean that if there isn't anything else available, you can't eat. And that, unfortunately, is a lot of the thought patterns that many of my patients have.
I guess, again, like you said, balance, 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 and to be educated. Because truly today, ironically, really the new medicine is pretty simple. It's exercise and proper nutrition. But there's still blood wars going on in the world of nutrition. Like you mentioned, again, high fat, low fat. Now, you know, we've all been sold up the river with sugar for decades and decades. The idea that there's, you mean cereals aren't good? Right? So,
right.
We all become a wreck over this. And I am unpleasantly surprised speaking with someone like yourself and seeing how prevalent some of this stuff is. Eating disorders as much, the overweight and all of these images. You know, when we had the author of the great book movie, Fat Boy Chronicles, I've had him on the show numerous times, Mike Buchanan, when he told me that over 60% of bullying was obesity and overweight related, I was floored how this is mixed in with all of this stuff. And I'm sure that's part of this whole family dynamic that you're looking at many times, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, bullying plays a huge part, and I would say it's a very common situation that a lot of my parents or patients experience. You know, they will remember, you know, being a little kid and someone calling them, you know, a fat jerk or something, you know, really that's not that bad. But the word fat, if you put that in it, that is like one of the most hurtful things ever. And I can hear, you know, so many of my patients talk about being called fat and how damaging that has been. And that something as little as that is something that they can ruminate over and think about obsessively. And that is how an eating disorder can be triggered.
Yeah, the overkill, again, many times when mixed in with sports where there's lots of pressures to win, to make weight, again, to be body image-wise, and like you said, the tremendous population of non-sports, where, again, you know, the world of fitness and the world of activity, it's ironic that every other block has a physical therapy group or another gym everywhere you look, and the population and the youth population is still struggling so big time. You know, I guess, again, you've got to be dealing with the fact that everybody's looking at their phone, right? A whole other behavior.
That's true. Yes, and I mean, and again, you kind of brought up another sort of, you know, way that an eating disorder can manifest. I said at the beginning of this segment that we're seeing more men with eating disorders, and you're right. There are gyms on every street corner, and, you know, I've talked to boys as young as 8 that feel that they need to get in the gym and bulk up for football, and their bodies aren't ready for that yet. But at the same time, you know, even adult men and bodybuilders that have very, very rigid patterns, this can easily turn into something that's obsessive and compulsive and turn into a very serious and deadly disease. You know, I don't know if you know this, but eating disorders have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. And that's really scary. And so, again, people don't always take it real seriously. They say, oh,
wow,
it's just a
shitty thing.
That's a
stunning statistic. I think sometimes when you mention anorexia, I think almost all of us have seen those nightmare cases and absolutely know. But what you just said, the fact that mortality rates, eating disorders, maybe the most aggressive in the world of mental disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and
What would you say, boys to girls? Like you said, that's the first surprising, not that I wouldn't expect, but like if we're taking all of these kids that you see, what percentage would you say girls to boys?
I would say about 10% of my practice consists of males. I mean, I do predominantly see females, but I also think it's so hard for males to seek out treatment because of the stigma that goes along with it.
Can't admit it. I'll tell you, the time flew by, Melissa Walden. Psychotherapist, certified counselor, specializing in eating disorders. What's the name of your practice, Melissa?
I am under MW Counseling, and I'm also part of the Eating Disorder Support Network.
Yes, is that in Madison, Wisconsin? And give us the website again, Melissa.
It's MWCounseling.com.
MWCounseling.com. Melissa, thank you so much. You hold on for a quickie second. And everybody will be right back in the Sports Doctors In segment. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. I still can't get over the fact that I was listening to John McEnroe on that great Wimbledon match, and then Guido was my first guest. Again, he was 20 years old, McEnroe. We first saw him at the clinic. Again, welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment, where we're going to answer some emails. And I'm going to give you some heads up. We got some great shows coming up next week. Trent Nessler is a doctor of physical therapy. He's the director of sports innovation. Will be joining me along with Donna Fadiato. She's a holistic nutrition and a physical training specialty. The following week, Adela Curry. She's one of the co-directors of this fantastic Strong Board Balance. Pieces of equipment. And then chiropractic physician and podcast host, Dr. Mike Pound, Heal Faster is his show. So some great stuff coming up. I hope everybody had an exciting July 4th. I tell you, time flies. And again, happy birthday, Cruz. You can check out the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Matter of fact, we just heard the commercial. Again, some great, great critical acclaim and some great feedback. And everybody who's interested in that topic, is a special running on ESPN, NBCSports.com Fairly Evan, and you can check that out. Let's see here. Sam. Our first email, Sports Doctors In segment. What's the difference between running shoes and cross trainers? That's a great question, Sam. Running shoes are for one step in front of the other, single direction, ideally. They don't have the side-to-side stability that a cross trainer has. So if you're doing a court sport like tennis or basketball, or if you are hiking trails or running trails, or you're doing any side-to-side sport on a field, then running shoes ain't for you. It's an ankle sprain waiting to happen. So cross trainers are a good bet where somebody also could run in them. So it's a good multi-purpose shoe, even though if you're going to be a runner, we do recommend being specific with a running shoe, but we don't want to mix that in with multiple direction sports. Terry says, my son is 16 years old. He plays serious hockey almost year-round. He's had some on and off persistent arch problems. Terry, look at orthotics, see sports podiatry. I've been putting orthotics in skates for like four decades, including a lot of hockey, a lot of mostly figure skating. And arch trouble is one of the main reasons that we're using orthotics. The exciting thing also is, besides having a great chance of getting rid of the problem, Terry, you also will see your son's performance improve. Balance, edging, stability. It's all about alignment. When done properly, an orthotic in a skate is designed to put that foot and lower leg ankle in its optimum alignment so everything works better. And this is something that's a great addition to trying to get rid of the discomfort. So see podiatry many times. We'll mix in physical therapy or take a look at strengthening, other kinds of exercises, as well as determining your son's foot mechanics, whether he's flat-footed, for example, or overpronated, or he's got high arches. But as a general rule, with the persistent arch discomfort, orthotics are a big deal. Most hockey players who use orthotics switch them back and forth. Shoes, skates, shoes. Pat asks, parents and coaches, how important is communication? You know, it's a great question, Pat. One of the contributing experts to hashtag Hey Sports Parents is Ian Goldberg. Ian is the creator of the app and the newsletter, Sport 360. And it's a tremendous interaction of coaches and sports parents at all sorts of different ages. Got some great sense of humor and great information. I've written 3-4 articles for them. Their main focus is communication at all levels with parents and coaches, whether it's evaluation, whether it's preventing problems. So initial I sport, S-P-O-R-T, 360 is a great information regarding that whole topic. Thomas wants to know, what do you think the role of orthotics in sports is? You know, Thomas, the role of orthotics in sports, role of the foot in sports, is a prominent one. And the, again, important point of trying to put the foot and ankle in its best alignment, properly support the arch, properly redistribute weight if necessary. So many times, again, we have to individualize that person, that athlete, what sport are they playing, what is their foot mechanics like, have they had a history of trouble in some way, shape, or form. I sing them the song, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the shin bone, the knee bone, because again, ironically, I used to make fun of Dr. Scholes years and years ago. You know, corns and callus pads, a lot of stuff. Great company. But their commercials today where they talk about Born to Move and the orthotics affecting all parts of the body, they are on the money. So in most instances, again, when done properly, orthotics are a step up regardless of the sport because it enhances balance and stability many times besides just dealing with a discomfort of one type or another. You know, Perry says, and by the way, everybody, my email, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Perry.com. Perry says that my 13-year-old daughter is a serious ballet dancer. She dances almost every day. She's been dancing since she's 6 years old. We followed directions. She just very recently has started doing point. Would massage therapy be helpful? Almost always, Perry, yes. Soft tissue therapy. I had one of the world's top experts on soft tissue therapy, kinesiotherapist Bob Guida, as our first guest today, is terrific in enhancing recovery, stimulating healing, keeping the body supple. So even if there's no symptoms or discomfort, and again, being proactive makes big sense. How often? Could be maybe 2-3 times a month, maybe once a week. But some of the best young athletes that I've seen over the years, the 2010 men's figure skating gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, who I put orthotics in his skates when he was 10, as a young adolescent, he included massage therapy all through his career. Very, very healing modality, something you really want to pay attention to. And I would mention again, massage therapy, I don't care what your sport is, what your level is, one of the best things you could do for your body, stimulating healing, is massage therapy. So we want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my guests again, Bob Guida, Melissa Walden, and keep those emails coming. And from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor, sportsdoctorradio.com. Thanks, everybody.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.